الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن اقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد My dear beloved brothers and sisters, we continue بإذن الله تعالى with the qira'ah and reading from Ighathatul Ahfan, supporting the distressed, by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. We've previously read together the affairs pertaining to the heart, the different categories of the heart that is sick, healthy, and the heart that is dead, and ways in which the heart can receive life from following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon knowledge and implementing them. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, throughout the first few chapters of this amazing book, has been dealing with the affairs of the qalb, the heart. And at the latter part of the book, he deals with the affair of the plots of shaitan. From the affairs he dealt with in this book is the affair of muhasabat al-nafs, and that is taking oneself to account. And this no doubt is an important topic, an important subject. And it's a subject which every single one of us, those who wish and hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon obedience and upon pleasing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, they need to reflect upon this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned throughout the Quran verses that would show and should encourage the slave, the servant, to take themselves to account. And from that is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْذُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Where he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, and let every soul look to that which he has brought forward or forth for tomorrow, for the hereafter. And again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah repeated again, and fear Allah. Because verily Allah is aware, indeed aware of all that which you do. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَسْتُرُ النَّاسِ أَشْتَاتَ لِيَرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. He mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day when the people will be gathered in separately, and they will be shown their deeds. No doubt this should encourage us to focus on the affair of taking ourselves to account. And likewise a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ تَجِدَ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْدَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تُوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَعُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, and that day where every soul will see that which they have done present, the deeds that they have performed will be present. That khair, that good that they have performed and done will be present and shown to them. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. And that which they have done from evil, they will wish that there was a distance between them and those deeds. Amadan ba'ida. Wa yuhadhirukum Allahu nafsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns you regarding himself, subhanahu. Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad. Allah sees all things and he is indeed kind to his servants. And from his kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness is that he has warned us in the Quran that we need to indeed be ready for the hereafter when our accounts will be taken. As he said to subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Well, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have taqwa, again, fear that day, have taqwa of that day, تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, where you be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then every soul's life will be taken. When their soul's been taken, they'll be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. And every individual will get their just reward. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And they will not be oppressed. No doubt this should give us the urgency in order to reflect as it relates to our deeds and the urgency to count and take ourselves to account before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that inevitable day. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَتُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you believe that you are created without a purpose and you will not be returning to him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bela, indeed we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to take ourselves to account. Like Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he wrote a message to some of his employees and his workers. He said, حاسب نفسك في الرخاء قبل حساب الشدة. Take yourself to account in the times of ease before you will be taken to account in the times of difficulty. Meaning, take yourself to account in this dunya, in this world, when you have the opportunity before you be taken to account in the hereafter. Hasibu anfusakum qabla antu hasabu. Take yourself to account before you be taken to account. Before you be taken to account. And Hassan al-Basri rahimullah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدْ لَا يَزَالُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا كَانَ لَهُ وَاعِذٌ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. He said, rahimullah, that an individual will not cease to be upon good as long as he is admonition or he is taking himself to account and admonishing himself. He's admonishing himself, questioning himself, his actions and that which he is doing, that which he has done. Taking oneself to account. And this was the way of our Salaf. And Maymun ibn Mihran, he said, لَا يَكُونَ الْعَبْدُ تَقِيًّا حَتَّى يَكُونَ لِنَفْسِهِ أَشَدُّ مُحَاسَبَةٍ مِنَ الشَّرِيكِ لِشَرِيكِهِ وَأَشَدُّ مُحَاسَبَةً مِنَ الشَّرِيكِ لِشَرِيكِهِ. He said that an individual will not, a servant will not become a person of taqwa. He won't become a person of piety and righteousness until he's stricter in taking himself to account as he would be regarding his partner. For example, you have a partner who is in business. You're counting, you're making sure that you're not being taken for a ride. So you're counting the incomings and outgoings. You're counting the profits and the loss. You're being stringent. He said that you'll not become a person of taqwa until you are more or stricter as it relates to taking yourself to account than that individual who is strict regarding his incomings and outgoings in his business with his partner. And this was the way of the Salaf, barakallahu fikum, that they were indeed like this. And this is why Ibn Qayyim rahimullah ta'ala, he mentions this in Ighathat al-Ahfan, in the supporting of the distressed. Because no doubt the one who has a healthy heart and maintains their heart in its healthy state is an individual who takes themselves to account. Takes themselves to account before they've been taken to account. They're conditioning their heart and keeping it healthy by taking themselves to account. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the text, وَمُحَاسَبَةُ النَّفْسِ نَوْعَانِ. He said, taking oneself to account is of two types. Yani there are two times when you should take yourself to account in general. نَوْعٌ قَبْلَ الْعَمَلِ وَنَوْعٌ بَعْدُهُ. There is a type of taking oneself to account before you do a deed, and the second category is after you have done the deed, done the action. And he starts off by mentioning and going into detail regarding the first category, and that is نَوْعٌ قَبْلَ الْعَمَلِ. نَوْعٌ قَبْلَ الْعَمَلِ. And that is that category related to taking oneself to account before you do the deed, before you do an action, whether it's salah, prayer, giving zakat, sawm, fasting, good deeds, ta'ah, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is noble. But the one, as we mentioned in the muqaddam and introduction, the one that is indeed has muttaqi, the one that is indeed a person of taqwa, is taking them, the one that takes themselves to account. And from that is taking yourself to account before you do the action. He says, rahimullah ta'ala, for amma nawl al-awwal, the first category, taking yourself to account before the deed, for huwa an yaqifu inda awli hammihi wa iradatihi. And that is that the individual, he stops and waits, or she stops and waits, when they have an intention, or the want, or the need, or the urge to do a deed. وَلَا يُبَادِرُ بِالْعَمَلِ. He doesn't race. They're not hasty. They don't race to do that action. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُ رَجْحَانَهِ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُ رَجْحَانَهُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. And that is until he is indeed sure that that deed that they're going to do will bring about more benefit for them than leaving it. As Hasan al-Basri rahimullah ta'ala, he said, rahimallahu abdan waqafa inda hammihi fa in kana lillahi mada wa in kana li ghayrihi ta'akhkhar. As Hasan al-Basri rahimullah ta'ala, he said, may Allah have mercy upon the servant who stops when he wants to do a deed, or she wants to do a deed, or has this urge and this yearn to do an action. وَقَفَ عِنْدَ هَمِّهِ فَإِنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ. If it's for Allah, mother, he'll continue. بِالْعَمَلِ. He'll continue that deed, implementing that deed, putting it into action, that want that they have. وَإِنْ كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ تَأَخَّرْ. And if it's for other than Allah, then they'll step back. This is taking yourself to account, he mentions in general, before the actual deed has been done. So then he bases that which comes after from his statement upon this athar, this statement of Hasan al-Basri rahimullah. Rahimullah, abdan waqafa inda hammihi fa in kana lillahi mada wa in kana li ghayrihi ta'akhkhar. May Allah have mercy upon the servant who stops when he has his intention or urge to do something. Fa in kana lillahi mada, if it's for Allah they continue. Wa in kana li ghayrihi ta'akhkhar, if it's for other than him they step back, they hold back. He says, rahimullah ibn al-Qayyim, wa sharaha hadha ba'dahum. He mentioned ba'dahum, some of the ulama have explained this statement of Hasan al-Basri as follows. And I need my dear beloved brothers to stay with me in this amazing statement from Ibn al-Qayyim, explaining how one takes themselves to account before they actually do a deed. And the importance of this, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, is that whatever deed we do would affect our hearts. If that deed is indeed that which is pleasing to Allah and is legislated, and it's the deed that is good and recognized in the Sharia and the legislation, it would increase the iman and the healthiness of the heart. But if that deed is in opposition to that which is legislated and that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is indeed going to reduce and bring down the iman of the individual and then affect the healthiness of the heart. Al-imanu amal. Iman is also actions. Actions is part of iman. Yazidu bita'a. It increases with obedience. Wa yankus bil ma'siyah. And that iman and belief, it reduces and decreases with sins. So this is important, ya ibadallah. He says, rahimullah, sharaha hadha ba'dahum. The statement of Hassan al-Basri, some of the ulama have explained this. فَقَالْ إِذَا تَحَرَّكَتِ النَّفْسِ لِعَمَلٍ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ وَهَمَّ بِهِ وَقَفَ أَوَّلًا وَنَذَرٍ. And that is step by step. Now he's taking us step by step. And that is that if you have this movement in your soul, heart, this harakah, this fire that you want to perform and do an act of, or a deed from any type of deed, waqafa awalan, he stops. And then he asks himself, wanadhar, and he asks himself, hal dhalika al-amr, or hal dhalika al-amal maqdurun lahu. He asks himself or herself, is that action something that I can do? Is it within the scope of my ability? Am ghayr maqdurin, or is it above my ability? Wala mustata', above my ability and capability. He asks himself that question. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَقْدُورًا لَمْ يُقْدِمْ عَلَيْهِ. If he's not able to do it, he stops or she stops and refrains from doing that action because the benefit is the harm is going to be more than the benefit. وَرَحِمَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً يَعْرِفْ قَدْرَ نَفْسَهُ. May Allah have mercy upon an individual who knows his level and knows their ability. So they stop and they ask themselves, can I? Do I have the ability to do this? Or do I not? If he doesn't have the ability, he stops it because it's going to cause more harm. He's going to cause more harm. Like a person who does not have the ability to speak in affairs of ilm, knowledge, of deen. And they talk and argue without proofs. As we see in social media. People talking and tweeting and saying whatever they want to say. But they don't have the ability, they don't have the ilm, they have not got the knowledge or the humility or the ability to restrain themselves from speaking out of turn. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَقْدُورًا, but if he is able and is within the scope of his ability, وَقَفَ وَقْفَةً أُخْرَى, he goes to the next stage and then he stops again. This is the second station in our journey of actually implementing an action. We've passed the first station. We have the ability now. We've been honest to ourselves regarding if we have the ability to perform the action. Now we move on. He says, وَقْفَةً أُخْرَى, another station, and he stops. وَنَظَرَ, and asks himself, هَلْ فِعْلُهُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ تَرْكِهِ. You have the ability to do it, yes. But is actually doing that deed better for you? Or is it better for you to leave it? And this requires an individual to be sadiq. It requires an individual to be truthful. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah. Fear Allah wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. And be from the truthful ones. Truthful with Allah. In worshipping Him alone, without any partners. Truthful to the sunnah. In implementing the sunnah wholeheartedly. Truthful to yourself and being honest, is this deed that I'm going to do or have the intention to do better fi'luhu khayrun lahu min tarkihi or khayrun li min tarkihi? Is it better for me to do it or leave it? Or tarkuhu khayrun lahu, or is it in fact better just to leave it? For in kana thani, if it's better for him to leave that deed even though he has the ability to do it, tarkuhu is afdal, is better for him to leave it. Tarakahu wa lam yaqdim alayh. He leaves or she leaves that deed and they do not proceed. Wa in kana al-awwal, and if it is indeed better for him or her to do that deed, waqafa waqfatan thalitha, and then he moves to the third stage in taking himself or herself to account. Waqfatan thalitha, the third. Wanadhar, and ask themselves again. Hal al-ba'ithu alayhi iradatu wajhi Allahi wa thawabihi am iradati al-jahi wa thana'i wal-mali min al-makhluq. He said, Rahimullah, that a person questions themselves. They have the ability to do it, number one. And number two, it's good for them to do that deed. It's a deed that they believe, according to their knowledge, that is actually good, better to do that deed than leaving it. The third stage, they ask themselves, what are my objectives? What was my intentions in doing this deed? What is it? Why do I want to do this deed? What are my intentions behind doing this deed? هل الباعث عليه إرادة وجه الله? Is that which is pushing me to do this deed? The yearning for the face of Allah, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking the reward from Allah, is that why I'm doing this deed? Taking yourself to account, being honest. Istifti qalbak, seek fatwa from your heart. Seek a ruling from your heart, because al-ikhlas wa niyyah hahuna. The intention is in the heart. Mahalu hal qalb is in the heart. What's your heart moving for? Why is it doing that deed? Or is it that deed is not for Allah, but rather is for status? Wa thana, and to be praised, and getting wealth from the people. For in kana thana, and if it is indeed that you're doing this deed for the face, or to get the respect, or to get praise, or compliments, or to be raised in the status of the worldly affairs. For in kana thani lam yuqdim alayhi. If he realizes that that's the case, he's honest to himself. Because you're going to be taken to account. We're all going to be taken to account. So he's honest to himself. She's honest to herself. It's for other than Allah. I want it other than the Allah. I wanted dunya. He wanted dunya. He wanted wealth. He wanted status. He stops. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that affliction. He stops. وَلَمْ يَقْدِمْ عَلَيْهِ. But if he realizes, وَإِنْ أَفْضَى بِهِ إِلَى مَطْلُوبِهِ, even if you will achieve something in the apparent, even if you achieve it, but it's for other than Allah, he'll stop it. Because he's a person of Tawheed. He's a person who doesn't want anything to be done for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the ulama have mentioned that he fights to correct that deed. And by correcting one's intention, for example, in seeking knowledge. He has ability to go and seek knowledge. Seeking knowledge is good for her and good for him. And they're remembering the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen. Whoever Allah wants good for, he gives them understanding of the religion. So you want to get that understanding. You have the ability to do so. And it's good for you to seek that knowledge. But why are you seeking that knowledge? Why are you seeking that knowledge? Is it for Allah and the hereafter? Or is it for position and status? The individual could correct that intention, no doubt, by seeking dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking refuge in Allah from associating partners with Him without Him knowing. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling into shirk al-asghar. He's a person of tawheed, so he doesn't want anything done for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he refrains, or he corrects his niyyah. And then he says, Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, لِأَنْ لَا تَعْتَدَ النَّفْسَ الشِّرْكِ, so the soul does not become used to associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is conditioning the soul and conditioning the heart. But I believe in that deed if it's not for Allah, or correcting the intention and making it for Allah by reflecting upon the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting upon His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes, that He's a Sami', the all hearing, Al-Basir, the all seeing, Al-Wahib, the one that bestows. The creation are not going to give you anything. He reflects upon, and all of this is before he does that deed. He reflects upon the sifat al-jannah, the characteristics of Jannah. And he reflects upon the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only except the deeds of the people of taqwa, meaning the people of ikhlas, the people of sincerity, and those who do that deed according to the legislation. Or it's going to be haba'an manthura, or it's going to be like scattered dust. He reflects upon all of this, and it should strike the fear in his heart, that healthy heart. So then they correct their intentions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that intention is correct, waqafa waqfatan ukhra. If that intention is correct, we move on to the next stage. On this journey, before we do an action, wanadhar, and he sees, hal huwa mu'anun alayhi wa lahu a'wanun yusa'idunahu wa yunassiranahu aw yansurunahu rather wa yansurunahu idha kana al-'amal muhtajan ila dhalik, hal huwa mu'anun alayhi, does he have, is it an affair which requires aid and support, do you need a group of people to help you to implement and execute that deed? You have no doubt gone through the previous stages, and you know it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tried your hard to push yourself to make it sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt we still have that fear. But that fear of it not being for Allah is healthy. But you know when you've done it for the dunya. You know when you've done it for wealth. And you know when you're trying to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes to the next stage. Is it an affair which requires help now, in order for it to be implemented? And if it is an affair that requires aid and support, do you have that aid and support? هَلْ هُوَ مُعَانٌ عَلَيْهِ? Do you have that aid and support? Do you have those who can support you, help you, give you a support and aid? Do you have that? فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ أَعْوَانٌ. If it is an affair that requires help and assistance and support, and you don't have anyone to do it, don't be stubborn. Take yourself to account. You cannot do it without, it's something that requires aid and support. You don't have that support. فَأَمْسَكْ أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ. He refrains from doing it. Following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَمَا أَمْسَكَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam عَنِ الْجِهَادِ بِمَكَّةِ. Like the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't do jihad in Mecca. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Mecca, as Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhullah ta'ala, in his explanation of this chapter, as he mentioned, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were idols hanging in the Kaaba. Lat wa Uzza were still there in Mecca. But he did not have the ability and the support in his initial prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the early days, he didn't have that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he did not do jihad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate jihad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for him to give da'wah. Lesta alayhim, you are not in charge of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْمُسَيْتِرِ. You're not in charge, you're not in control of them. Allah commanded him to give da'wah. صلى الله عليه وسلم حَتَّى صَارَ لَهُ شَوْكَةً وَأَنْصَارَ. Until he went to Medina, the migration to Medina, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he had support from the Ansar. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَلَى عَنْهُمْ. Look at the fiqh, ya ibadallah. No jihad in Mecca, because he did not have the aid and support, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated migration and hijrah. So he migrated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina, and then he had support, he had people to aid him from the Ansar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this is an important principle that we need to reflect upon. And that is that this is the tariq al-nubuwa, this is the prophetic methodology, which is in opposition to the way of the Khawarij, and those who scream jihad without any fiqh and no understanding. And not understanding that jihad have different levels. And jihad has rulings and ahkam, like salah has rulings and ahkam, like fasting has rulings, conditions, pillars, affairs which one needs to implement before they can do the act of worship. And jihad is from them. And in this is also is a more present day, closer to أقرب إلى زماننا, example from the da'wah and the call of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. He rahimahullah, over 300 years ago in his da'wah, calling the people to Tawheed, he wrote books of Kitab al-Tawheed, Usul al-Thalatha, Qawaid al-Arba, Kashf al-Shubahat. He rahimahullah ta'ala, in Uyayna, which was his hometown, rahimullah, there were people who used to make dua to Zayd ibn Khattab. Zayd ibn Khattab was the brother of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhuma. And he was martyred in the Battle of Yamama. And the people in Uyayna, which is in the Arab Peninsula, where Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala was born and his da'wah initiated there, sought knowledge there first. There were people who used to make dua calling upon Zayd. And at that early stage of his da'wah, he did not have support, rahimullah. So he would go past these people making supplications and dua to Zayd's grave. They built a grave tomb. And he would walk past and he say to them, Allahu khayrun min Zayd. Allahu khayrun min Zayd. He would just say a word. He give the da'wah. He says, Allah is better than Zayd. Ask Allah. Make dua to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not have sultan. He did not have authority. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden the soul with more than that which they can bear. So in this stage, barakallahu fikum, he did not destroy the tomb and that which that they were building around the grave of Zayd ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He just said, Allahu khayru min Zayd. Until the Emir of Uyayna gave him authority and supported him, rahimahullah. And when that time came, when he had the a'wan and he had the support from the authority, the ruler, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab destroyed those tombs and flattened the graves. So they wouldn't worship others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he had the qudra and he had the a'wan. And he had the authority. He had the authority from the Emir, the one in charge of Al-Uyayna. And this is fiqh from the Shaykh, rahimullah. And this is the Tariq al-Nubuwa. And this is the prophetic way as the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did that in Mecca. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a refutation against those who believe that it's weakness to have that patience. But rather this is indeed strength. And strength is with the sunnah, in implementing the sunnah, and following the way of our salaf, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Wahhab did. And look at the fruits of his da'wah. Look at the fruits of his da'wah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this requires fiqh, ya ibadallah. It requires understanding and having hikmah and wisdom. And that's how we have to be regarding all of our actions and taking ourselves to account before the deed that we want to do or implement. So he says, rahimullah, وَإِنْ وَجَدَ مُعَانًا عَلَيْهِ فَيَقْدَمْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْصُورٌ. And if he has that support that is required for that action to be implemented, He moves forward and does that deed. And he has indeed that support. وَلَا يَفُوتُ النَّجَاحُ إِلَّا مِنْ فَوَاتِ خَصْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْخِصَابِ. And he said that the one that is starved from success and misses out in success is the one that does not follow these steps that he is given here in this chapter. And then he summarizes these steps. And he says, فَهَذِهِ أَرْبَعَةُ مُقَامَاتٍ. And these are the four different stages. يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مُحَاسِبَةُ نَفْسِهِ أو يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مُحَاسَبَةَ نَفْسِهِ مُحَاسَبَةِ نَفْسِهِ. And he needs this to make the muhasaba and taking himself to account قبل الفعل, before the action. And then he says, فَمَا كُلُّ مَا يُرِيدُ الْعَبْدُ فَعْلَهُ أو فَعْلَهُ. It's not everything that you want, that you do. يكون مقدورا له, that he has the ability to do it. ولا كل ما يكون مقدورا له, and not everything that he has the ability to do, he does. Not everything that you have the ability to do, it's better for you to do it. يكون فعله خيرا من تركه. Not everything that you have the ability, just the fact that you have the ability to do something doesn't mean that it's better for you to do it than leaving it. ولا كل ما يكون فعله خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ تَرْكِهِ يَفْعَلُهُ لِلَّهِ. And not everything that he does, that indeed doing it is better than leaving it, that he does it for Allah. So he needs to take himself to account. وَلَا كُلُّ مَا يَفْعَلُهُ لِلَّهِ يَكُونُ مُعَانًا عَلَيْهِ. And it's not everything that he does for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has support and aid to do it, if it's required. فَإِذَا حَاسَبَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And if the individual takes themselves to account upon this, تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ مَا يُقْدِمُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا يُحْجِمُ عَنْهُ. It will become clear to this individual what they should pursue and fulfill and do, and what they should indeed refrain from doing. What they should refrain from doing. And then he mentions after this, rahimullah, the second category. You've done that deed. You've gone through that those four stages. And that is before the deed. Before doing the deed, you've taken yourself to account. The second type of taking oneself to account in general, النوع الثاني, محاسبة النفس بعد العمل. And that is taking oneself to account after the deed. So you've done the deed. And he says, وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعٍ. Taking oneself to account after you've done the deed, are again, he's categorizing it into three different categories. The first one we did, taking yourself to account before your deed, he mentioned four stations and places that we have to stop and reflect regarding. As for taking oneself to account after the deed, وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعٍ. So three different categories. The first one, he says, مُحَاسَبَتُهَا عَلَى طَاعَةٍ عَلَى طَاعَةٍ قَصَّرَ أَوْ قُصِّرَتْ فِيهَا. And that is that he's taking himself or himself or herself to an account after the deed for that which may be in it some deficiencies that they have fell into regarding that deed. And this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is why it's legislated after the salah, a noble act, a noble deed, the pillar after the pillar of the shahadatain, the salah, the prayer. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say astaghfirullah. He will seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. for any deficiencies that could occur. Astaghfirullah, seek forgiveness from Allah. And this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what about the one that does a deed that is disobedient to Allah? When Allah has legislated through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah, that if and after we finish the deed that we, in Salah, that we say astaghfirullah, seek forgiveness from Allah for any shortcomings as it relates to the perfection and implementing that deed. So how about the one that disobeys Allah? How about that? When it comes to the obedience, we seek forgiveness from Allah for shortcomings. How about the one that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that requires an individual to have this tawadu, this humility that we mentioned, and not be self-amazed by that deed that they have performed. But rather, it humbles them. Yukassiruhu, it breaks him down. Breaks her down. Seeking forgiveness from Allah for any shortcomings that they have indeed fell into regarding that deed or that action. And the haqq and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ta'ah, and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, in obedience, is that it has to be al-ikhlas fi al-amal. It has to be sincerely for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nasihatun lahu wa lillahi tabarak wa ta'ala fihi. Purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adinu nasiha, adinu nasiha. Qalu liman, qala lillah. The religion is advice, religion is purity, the religion is sincerity. For who? It's for Allah. Sincerity for Allah. Purifying that action has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, wa mutaba to Rasul, from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the deed, is that it has to be in accordance to the legislation and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا مَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever invents or introduces an affair that is not from this, an act that is not from this affair, this deen, this sunnah, it is rejected. And then the next is that they have to have ihsan. It's from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَحْسِنُوا. And have ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do good. Excellence. And having ihsan fi kulli shay. And having excellence in every deed that we do is from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is following the sunnah, again, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَشُهُودْ مِنَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِي. And that is that from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the deed is that we express the gratitude from to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a tawfiq to implement that deed. And know that it's a favor from Allah. And again, He makes us humble and it breaks us down. Softens the heart. Brings us closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and being grateful. And having shukr ba'da shukr. وَحَتَّى لِشُكْرٍ شُكْرٌ. Having gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him giving us the tawfiq to do that deed. وَشُهُودْ تَقْسِيرُهُ فِيهِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. And admitting and recognizing your shortcoming as it relates to that. For example, the individual is standing up for prayer and they lose concentration. Their mind travels, thinking of worldly affairs, even while reciting Fatiha maybe. Or the man who is in the masjid, the brothers in the masjid, and the ayat have been recited, is fidgeting with his beard, thinking about the dunya. This is the taqsir, this is deficiencies in that salah. So the individual has to admit this and recognize this and realize that there is indeed work to be done in improving the ibadah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشُهُودُ تَقْسِيرُهُ وَشُرُودُ تَقْسِيرِهِ. And then he bears witness and recognizes his shortcomings as it relates to that, all of it. So he takes themselves to account. This is the first one, and that is that they notice the deficiencies in the rights of Allah. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, taqullah. The taqwa of Allah, they realize and take themselves to account regarding the deficiencies. The second, and yuhasibu nafsu ala kulli amalin kana tarkuhu khayran lahu min fi'li. And then he questions himself again afterwards. Was it better for me to do with it? Was any part of that deed better to have been left? And no doubt, if it, the individual makes tawbah and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. And the third, أَن يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى أَمْرٍ مُبَاحٍ. This is muhimna, ibad Allah. This is an important nuqta that he seals this chapter or this portion with. And that is that the individual takes himself to account regarding those acts that they have done, which are from the worldly permissible things, permissible affairs, like sleeping, eating, drinking, halal, working, walking, exercising, He asks himself, لِمَ فَعَلَهُ. Why did you do it? Why did you eat? Why did you drink? Why did you sleep? Why did you wash yourself? Why did you do exercise? Why did you walk? Why did you move? وَهَلْ أَرَادَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَدَارِ الْآخِرَةِ. Did he want by it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Reward from Allah? Face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward of the hereafter? For if that's the case, for yakun rabihan fi, do they want this so they can become the individual who is indeed profited from sleeping, profited from waking, profited from walking, profited from eating, drinking, taking oneself to account for the mubahat, taking oneself to account for those affairs that are generally permissible and allowed from the worldly affairs? Are you actually profiting from that for the hereafter? It just takes the niyyah. It just takes the intention to change all of that and flip it to something that indeed will become profitable for the hereafter. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. The actions are indeed by intention. So the individual, barakallahu feekum, يُحَوِّلُ الْعَادَاتِ إِلَى عِبَادَاتِ. With his intentions, the individual will transform that affair which was indeed in its origin permissible, normal, to something that is turned to worship. That is taking yourself to account after the deed, after that action of eating, after that action of sleeping. Why? Okay, the individual, he goes to bed, she goes to bed with the intention to be able to get up on time to pray at night, to have the strength and the energy to stand up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while you're sleeping, you're getting reward. The individual goes to sleep early so they can wake up for suhoor and fast on Monday and fast on Thursday or other legislated fasts. So they sleep with that intention of, I need to sleep in order to be strong and able to get up and pray at night, to get up to have suhoor, to take that pre-dawn meal, so I can have the strength to fast for the whole day. All of this is the individual has changed the intention, has changed by the intention rather, an action which is indeed normal to something that is worship. And that includes eating and drinking. Did you actually do this? When you last had your meal and you had your last glass of water, did you have the intention to strengthen your back, to be strong and have khushu and humility for the next coming salah? Taking yourself to account after that drinking and that eating and that sleeping. And it shows you, about Allah, the comprehensive nature of this deen of al-Islam. Nothing is left out. And we have to take ourselves to account, ibadallah, for everything. And this is the hal and the state of the muttaqi. This is the state of the one that is righteous, that they take themselves to account. For that which they have done, after they have done it. And likewise taking that themselves to account for that which they intend to do. So that which they intend to do, they follow the four steps that we mentioned. And the individual after doing that deed, they follow the three steps in recognizing his deficiency and making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for maybe doing something or part of something that could be better to leave it. فَكُلِّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّى All of the children of Adam, they err. So he makes tawbah, repentance to Allah. And finally, all the other worldly affairs that he does, he takes himself to account as to why they did that. And did they actually profit from that deed by having that pure intention or that intention to turn it to worship? Or did they lose out in an opportunity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And with this, my beloved brothers and sisters, we conclude today's lesson regarding taking oneself to account from the works of Ibn Qayyim, Ighathat al-Ahfan, amazing book. And billahi tawfiq, next week bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will continue in reading this amazing book. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, that we implement everything that we have said and that which we have listened to. Wa huwa subhanahu wa ta'ala kareem. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.